Sir, what is your name, sir?
Jason Allen McFedrich.
Okay, sir, could you just hold on one moment, please?
I have this one.
You got it?
Okay.
We have one phone call.
Hello?
Yes, sir, it's our understanding you want to participate in the hearing of your son. This is Arizona Board of Executive Clemency, am I correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, hold on, the Honorable Miss Rudenhouse will be with you shortly, sir.
Okay, thank you.
All right, Mr. McFedrich, can you please state your name and your ADC number for the record?
Jason Allen McFedrich, 213-221.
Thank you, and good afternoon. You're appearing before the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency for a revocation hearing regarding the one allegation listed on your warrant of arrest. You should have been given a form notifying you about this hearing. I see you signed your form on October 13th, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and on that form are your hearing rights, and one of those rights is that you could hire at your expense a lawyer to represent you. So I don't see a lawyer with you. Are you representing yourself today?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, thank you. I'd like to introduce you to the members of the board conducting this hearing. And if you look down at on the video screen, at the opposite end of the bench from me is the Honorable Mr. David Neal. Right next to him is the Honorable Michael Johnson. Right in the center of the bench here is the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright. He's our board chairman. And my name's Gail Rittenhouse. I'll be the panel chairman for your hearing today. Also with us in the room is a community corrections officer, Mr. Oliveri. And you can see him now on the video, and he'll be representing the Department of Corrections and your parole officer today. All right, before we get started, I need to swear both you and Mr. Oliveri in, and also Mr. McFedrich.
Yes, ma'am.
On the telephone.
His first name is...
Robert. Mr. Robert McFedrich, okay, got it, thank you. So all three, Mr. Jason McFedrich, Mr. Robert McFedrich, and Mr. Oliveri, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Mr. McFedrich, Mr. Robert McFedrich?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Oliveri?
I do.
Thank you. Thanks, everyone. The hearing will be conducted in two phases. Phase one is to determine if Mr. McFedrich violated the conditions of his community supervision, and then phase two, the board will determine if your supervision should be continued or revoked. So Mr. McFedrich, I'm going to read information from your warrant, and as I read you this allegation, I need you to tell me if it's true or false. If you think it's false, then the board will take some testimony from the Department of Corrections, from Mr. Oliveri, and then the board will make the final determination as to whether or not you violated your conditions.
Okay,
do you understand?
Question?
Sure, go ahead.
I wrote a letter to you guys because it said on my, when I was reading my warrant, the rights that I can provide witness, and I requested for Pamela McKee to be present. I also formally wrote her and requested so that she knew, because she said that she was going to be here telephonically. I have her phone number and everything.
I have a, let me look at your, we have your letter. Let me look at your letter here and see.
It's on the back, it should be.
Yes, it's, is it 623-474-1500? Possibly?
Yes, ma'am.
Possibly? No, wait, that's a sponsor with the AA, is that? That's not right then.
No, that's Pamela McKee's. That's the phone number to MRC, and she works at MRC, so that was the number that I had for her.
So this number that I just read is correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so...
Did you get it again?
Yeah, here we go. It's 623-474-1500. All right, and we'll get her on the phone then.
Okay.
If she's available, we'll get her on the phone.
And who's on the phone now?
Mr. Robert McFedrich is on the phone right now.
So we're going to connect another person on the line. Would you please just
Hey, don't hang up, just stay on the line, okay?
Okay, sure. MRC, Officer Kennedy, how can I help you?
Yes, we're trying to get Officer Marquez. Is that person available? This is Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. We're holding a hearing at this time.
Yes, sir. Hold on just one second.
Thank you.
Sir, are you still on the line?
Good work. I would disconnect for sure. I have not good at that.
He's an expert.
There you go, sir.
Okay.
Thank you.
This is McKee. This is Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. Hold on one second. Hello?
This is for Officer Pam McKee.
Yes, this is Arizona Board of Executive Clemency. If you hold on, I believe that someone wishes you to speak on their behalf. And Mr. Robert, are you still on the phone, sir?
Hello, Mr. Roberts?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, good.
Ms. McKee, you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay, we'll continue with the hearing.
Very good. We're all connected now, and where were we? We were just about to start reading the allegation. Officer McKee, are you going to testify?
What is the DOC number of the person that we're talking about?
It's Jason McFetridge, and it's 213-221.
Hold on one second.
Okay. Because if you're going to testify, I'll just go ahead and swear you in also.
I'm not sure that she's aware of why she's gone.
This is a Clements area, a revocation hearing for Jason McFetridge, and he asked that we get you on the line.
Okay, I was not aware.
Okay. Are you okay with participating?
Yes.
Okay. We're partway into the hearing, and we're just about to the point where we're going to start phase one of the hearing, and I will go ahead and do that now. So, Mr. McFetridge, the allegation on your warrant is that you were in violation of condition of supervision number 4, as demonstrated by your failure to successfully complete substance abuse counseling on or about September 18th, 2017, as directed. Mr. McFetridge, is that true or false?
That is true.
All right, thank you very much. Based on Mr. McFetridge's admission, I move to find him delinquent as he violated the terms and conditions of his supervision and may have lapsed or have lapsed into criminal ways or company.
Second.
Thank you. If everyone could just hold one second. I have some paperwork. Okay. All right. Now, we can move to phase two of your hearing, Mr. McFetridge, and determine if your supervision should be continued or revoked. But before we move on, Mr. Oliveri is going to give us a little bit of background information about your case. So just hang on the line, everyone. Hang with us, and we'll be right back with you. Thank you, Mr. Oliveri.
Offender McFetridge was released from the Department of Corrections on December 28th of 2016. He was arrested in office on September 18th.
Mr. Oliveri, I'm looking at a warrant that says he was released on August 16th. Is that right? No?
December 28th of 16.
That's what mine says.
Well, yours says what?
Same as what he said, December 28th.
So it was originally released. See, I have August 16.
Okay. Oh, and he was a BOC recently. Okay.
Okay, so originally.
Okay. Originally,
57. I see it way down here now,
yeah.
Now that I'm
yeah.
looking at it. Okay. All right, carry on. Sorry, I threw a monkey wrench into things.
He was arrested in office on September 18th of 2017 for a technical violation, returned back to DOC custody that same day. He had 0 days abscond. His supervision end date will be on June 28th of 2018. Current convictions, 2008, armed robbery, 6 years, 5 months. 2008, 2 counts, trafficking in stolen property, receiving 6 years and 5 months for one count, and 9 years and 3 months for another count. Also in 2008, narcotic drug violation, 4 years, 5 months. Prior convictions, 2004, firearm possession, adjudicated delinquent, 6 months. And in 2006, drug paraphernalia violation, 6 months. The offender has 2 terms with ADC. CU and IR scores are a 3-3, mental health score of a 2, and a substance abuse score of a 3. There is no STG gang information noted. 1 prior term of supervision. In 2007, TIS completion, 4 months. The offender has a significant disciplinary history with possession of narcotics, criminal damage, and multiple refusals to program or job assignment noted. Other arrest, 2002, minor in possession of alcohol, Arizona juvenile probation. 2002, minor in possession of alcohol, Arizona juvenile probation. 2003, burglary, third degree, Arizona juvenile probation. 2003, forgery, Arizona juvenile detention. 2003, domestic violence, Arizona juvenile detention. 2005, firearm possession, adjudicated delinquent, Arizona felony conviction, probation. And also in 2005, import, release, live wildlife, Arizona felony conviction, probation. His community risk score is a G4, V5.
Thank you, Mr. Oliveri. All right, so this is quite a lengthy case supervision summary. Mr. McFetridge, we get a little bit of background information on you. It looks like you did establish residence in August, on August 18th at MRC, is that correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, and did you stay there the entire time that you were out?
Yes, I wasn't able to leave the first 30 days, so I wasn't able to get a job or anything. I wasn't able to leave the facility.
Okay.
So
you had the 30-day treatment?
No, 90-day was when I was trying to complete.
Oh, not you had a 90-day. Okay, gotcha.
Yes.
Okay, so you didn't work because you were there having treatment, which was a good thing. It looks like, though, for you'd had some initial problems, and this goes back to the December release. Okay, I see it now. And you had a positive drug test back then for meth, opiates, and marijuana. And you admitted you were having problems. Are you still having problems with meth?
No, man. You can see on my paperwork that I had 9 clean UAs and no dirty UAs. I was doing very well. I wouldn't even consider using again.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. Those are very, all of those are very difficult addictions, and it's good that you're starting to get a handle on that. Okay, you did voluntarily agree to participate in the 30-day program. You were reinstated.
Yeah, that was the first violation.
Yeah, the first time. Yeah, that's what confused me. Sorry, I got a little confused when my paperwork was. Seem to be incorrect. It looks like you did 9. There's the 9 negatives. See, this is all documented here. And you attended 11 CAP substance abuse classes, but you were discharged, it says, on September 18th because you had a lack of participation in individual counseling. It says you were resistant to individual counseling. What does that mean? What
That wasn't the reason why I was violated, it was actually the cell phone. They gave me a staffing and they were inquiring why I wasn't going to individual counseling, and I didn't know I had to schedule one once a week. So once they established that I had to go to individual counseling, which kind of key, this is why I wanted her here, so that she could attest to this.
Okay.
After my staffing, I went to an individual counseling session. I scheduled it that very next week with Mr. Cottrell. And I went to that one, and I had another one scheduled. Before I could go to the second one, that's when I was violated for the cell phone. To give you a little background, the reason why I had it, and I'm not justifying my actions by any way, shape, or form, I had a cousin pass away, and then a brother-in-law passed away as well. They were a day apart, and so I was really distraught, and I made a bad decision by bringing in the cell phone. We're allowed to have cell phones, but we're only allowed to have them in our lockers. We're only allowed to have weekend privileges, and I had it in my actual housing unit.
I understand. Please accept our condolences on behalf of the board. That's a lot to have two losses like that, one day apart.
Yeah.
I'm very sorry to hear that. It looks like you also were taking, there's a note here that said you didn't make any progress in the area of criminal thinking. Were you taking some coursework on criminal thinking?
No, if you keep reading, it says I didn't make progress in the criminal thinking due to the reason why because I was caught with the cell phone.
Oh, okay.
Making wrong decisions in the treatment facility.
I see. And you've explained why you had the... Now, there is something I'm wondering about, though, and I've had one cell phone, and this says you were with 9/16/17, Officer Kennedy said you had two cell phones, and then on the 18th,
yeah,
you were discharged to include having three cell phones. So what was it, one, two, or three?
This is why I wanted Pamela here. The two cell phones that were found in my cell were not mine. They were not activated, those cell phones. The cell phone that I did get that was in my possession, in my backpack, that was my cell phone, and that one was activated. It was.
So where did the other two come from?
It was another person who was there. His name is William Savory. And I opened the phones for Pamela McKee so she could see, and proof was there. She knows that the phones, one, were not activated, and they were not my phones. Those two phones were not. Now, the phone that they did find, when they rolled my stuff up, yes, that was definitely my phone.
That was your phone?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. I think I'd like to ask Ms. McKee. I didn't swear you in, Ms. McKee. I forgot to do that before. So, do you solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help you God, and do you so affirm?
Yes.
Thank you. So, can you tell us a little bit about the cell phones? What was the story?
Well, the way it works is when a offender arrives to MRC, we ask them for their cell phones so we can lock them up in the front locker area, and all the property is searched to make sure they don't have any contraband. So once he came in, he knew he was not supposed to have any cell phones down in his housing area. His cell phone was supposed to be kept up front in the transitory area where our lockers are. So Officer Kennedy was conducting rounds, and he caught the offender with two cell phones. Once he was placed in isolation area, and then Kennedy rolled up his property, he found the third, which having the cell phones in the housing unit is a violation of MRC rules.
Right. So... But you have, I think you probably heard Mr. McFetridge say that you could testify that those two cell phones that were not his belonged to some other inmate?
There were two cell phones that I looked at, and they were not active at that point in time, but I can't testify to exactly who they belonged to.
Okay. So what would be the normal, I mean, because they were in Mr. McFetridge's possession, then he would be the one disciplined for that?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Ms. McKee. Is there anything else you want to add that is that you feel is relevant at this point?
Yeah, one other thing is when someone goes into ITH and they meet with their ITH counselor, the counselor goes over what the expectations are. So David Cartrell explaining him what his expectations were, and it was on 9/6/17 when we staffed his case. His counselor had concerns with the offender because he hadn't taken advantage of any of his one-on-one counseling sessions. So then during that staffing, the administration advised that the offender he needed to take part in those if he was going to continue into the program, and I also gave him that direction. And then it was on 9/13, we conducted another staffing, and then by time that day came, he did schedule a one-on-one with Dave.
Okay. Yes, that's reflected here in this warrant. Sir, Mr. Johnson has a question for you.
Officer McKee, one of the reasons that we called you is because Mr. McFandridge wrote a letter, and in the letter he wrote a statement in here that he wanted to have you on the phone because he said, my parole officer, Officer Pamela McKee, said she didn't want to violate me but had to do so due to the extra stipulation put on by the board that I must complete treatment. So the reason that, one of the reasons that we called is because he made that, and he said that you didn't want to violate him, but you were going to violate him because of the stipulation put on by the board. Is that true?
That is not all the way true. What I did is I staffed the case with my supervisor, Andre Rodriguez, and then during that staffing, that's where the decision came from.
Okay.
So it wasn't all because of the board, partially because it says he needs to complete the program.
Yes, ma'am.
In his conditions of supervision, but then I also staffed it with my supervisor, and he agreed that we needed to do the warrant, and then he can go in front of the board.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Ms. McKee. Officer McKee, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson, and thank you, Officer McKee. Do any of my fellow board members have questions for Mr. McFetridge? All right. Mr. Robert McFetridge, what would you like to tell the board today?
Just backing my son up, giving some moral support here. I want to, be there for him, whatever we need to do to try to overcome all this, I'm hoping.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. So back to you, Mr. Jason McFetridge. What are your plans? What would you like out of this day? What would you be your expectation?
Due to the fact that I was in treatment for drugs and I didn't have any dirty ways and there was drugs around, there was plenty of drugs around. I didn't once try to use drugs, didn't think about using drugs, even though I was having a lot of emotional stress at the time and was in tears and dealing with a lot of stuff with not only, one of my family members and trying to overcome addiction. I was really trying to go above and beyond in the program. I was doing extra chores, I was doing a lot of stuff that was mandatory for me, like AA, I was going to every night. I was going to also Heroin Anonymous. I started my own Bible study group there. I had a sponsor, his name's Chris with the Madman Group, and I was working the 12 steps with him. I was doing a lot of stuff to show my family, the counselors, and myself, that I really am genuine in the change that I'm making, and I didn't have one dirty way. I really am ready for change, and it's very unfortunate that I'm not going to minimize it. I made a bad decision by ringing the cell phone in. You know, it was really, it was stupid. It really was. I honestly didn't think I was going to get violated for it. I have my own business on the streets. I do tile landscaping and roofing. And I just want to be able to go back and spend time with my family and be back with my family. And, you know, I have a child on the way. I'm trying to be the father that I need to be. And it's hard for me to be there for them emotionally, financially, and be the father that I need to be, the husband I need to be if I'm incarcerated. And to be 100% honest, I felt like I really wasn't doing anything that would put my freedom in jeopardy, because I was staying sober. I wasn't, you know, like a scouting or anything like that. I really loved that program. I really did. As soon as they told me to go on to the one-on-ones, I started going to the one-on-ones. I was actually seeing real significant change in my life. Not only with the addiction, but with my codependency and just different aspects. That really is a good, really, really good program. It's unfortunate that I was discharged earlier than because I really did want to complete that program. And I still do want to complete the program. You know?
Okay.
If they would take me back, I would.
All right, you know, thank you.
I will do anything and everything that the board suggests, if it's after care, in-house, anything. I mean, my freedom is the most precious thing to me, and I'm sure you guys hear this all the time. I really am genuine in the things that I tell you. I'm speaking from the heart.
Sir, it looks like you have a pretty extensive criminal history, and I see quite a bit of evidence that drugs were involved. When you were doing the armed robbery and the trafficking, was that at the same time? I see there's also a narcotic drug conviction. Did those things all occur at the same time?
Yes, ma'am. It was all drug related.
Okay, so
it was in 2008.
Yeah, and it was to get money for drugs.
Yes.
All right. Yes. Understood. All right. Warren has no further questions? No? All right, Mr. McFeathers, we're coming to the end of your hearing, and I wanted to give you just an opportunity to make one final statement, if you'd like to, before the board goes into discussion and makes a determination for you. Is there anything you wanted us to know without repeating something you've already told us?
I just would really like you guys to take the fact that I did not use, even though all the stuff I was trying to overcome and the deaths of my family was really the only reason why I had the phone. I was homesick, I was distraught, I was mourning, and I really just wanted to talk to my family. And I mean, that was the only reason why I made that foolish decision. That was the only reason why I felt like my life was crumbling before me, and I still didn't use. And that's proof to show how serious I was, that I'm not going to let drugs ruin my life. And if given the chance, I'm not going to do anything to put my freedom in jeopardy. There's only one thing that always stands in way, and that's drugs. And I've been doing the real change. I've been making a significant effort to try to better my future, you know, for not only for me, but for my family.
Thank you, sir. I believe you when you say that you weren't using. So, you know, I can see it in your face and in your eyes that you really have decided to make a change. So the board's going to go into discussion now and make a determination. We do everything in public. We've not discussed your case before this very minute as a board. So it may sound like we're talking to you or we're talking to people in the room here, but we're not. It's the board talking among itself. But you're free to listen in, and those on the phone as well. If you just remain silent, we'll be back with you momentarily. The board's now in discussion. This is a case of an individual, now that I've finally got my facts straight, who had been on supervision and was having some difficulties with drug use, self-admission, some very tough addictions, meth and heroin and marijuana also. was reinstated to community supervision in August and was accepted and seemed to be doing very well in MRC, which I, as we've heard from many inmates, is a good program, but had two deaths in his family, ended up with the cell phone in his possession, which he was not allowed to have. Had two other cell phones, which I'm not really clear how that all happened, but it sounds like that is not really as significant as the one that he had that he knew was wrong to have. It sounds like Mr. McFetridge is serious. He says he's going to AA, HA, has a sponsor, is working the steps. He does have one supervision in the community, a successful completion in 07 of 4 months. It sounds like he has decided to change his life. I would like to hear some input from my fellow board members. I'm sort of on the fence on this one, so does anyone have Dr. Wright, please?
Yes, Madam Chair, may I, if Mr. McKee is still on the phone, may I ask a question?
Please.
Officer McKee, are you still on the phone?
Yes, I am.
It's my recollection that all of this is just coming back to me. When you came before this board, back in August with him, did you not? Am I correct?
I don't remember.
I thought you came before the board and you gave us some information on the MRC program. I thought that you gave us some information and that you felt that he was a good candidate for the program, because I think there was some reservation, hesitation on the part of some board members about him, and that he, I'm just trying to put it in perspective. That's the only reason I'm asking that this time.
No, that wasn't me. I didn't go in front of the board to testify
Well, let me ask this. Is he, I'm not asking for a recommendation, but is other than the telephone situation, the phone situation, has he been a good person to be a part of the MRC program?
While he was here, he was good to deal with.
And I have one other question, just for information. I'm not suggesting anything. Were you aware of the fact that he had two deaths in his family?
I believe I was aware he had one death in his family. I don't think I was aware of the second one.
Okay.
But we did talk about his deaths, and then I'm pretty sure he spoke to his counselor about those. But I believe something was talked about among staff with his situation.
Okay.
What my memory recalls.
Okay, well, thank you, ma'am. I think, I do remember when he came before this board, and someone from MRC did come over and talk with this board and gave us some information that, because we didn't know too much about it, and we were invited to come over to MRC at that time to get for a tour, which we have not done as of this moment, which I've not done. I don't know whether the rest of us have done it or not at that time. I think, if this, if there was death in the family and this phone system was the only or the major, let me put it that way, the major concern that they had, and if it was based partially, as Officer McKee said, partially, because she made it very clear, not totally, based upon recommendations from this board or mandate from this board, then I think it, I see nothing wrong with giving another chance.
Okay. Mr. Johnson?
I just need to just make sure. Can we go out of discussion? I need to ask him a question.
Yes. Okay, we're stepping out of discussion.
Okay, so you said there were two deaths in your family. Didn't those deaths occur prior to you going to MRC?
Yes,
No, sir.
It occurred while?
While I was at MRC.
It occurred while you were at MRC?
Yes, sir.
And who were the two deaths that you had in your family?
My brother-in-law, my cousin. My cousin was murdered, and the next day my brother-in-law overdosed and died.
Okay, and so were there some family issues when you came back before this board in August, where the board reinstated you involving some family issues?
No, absolutely not. Me and my father, we get along very, very well. That's who I was living with at the time. He's the one who's on the phone now. But definitely no violence or family issues or any sort.
Okay, you were living with your father at the time, but then you relapsed and started doing drugs. You left your father's house.
No, I didn't leave his house. I got violated and sent to DOC, and that's why.
Okay, I'm just trying to understand, sir, because I kind of recollect that you were staying with your father, you relapsed and started doing drugs, and then you stopped being at your father's house. However, your father was still supportive of you, but your father was not supportive of you using drugs.
No, I never left my father's house. He's not supportive of me doing drugs, absolutely not. He gave me the ultimatum that if I didn't clean my stuff up, then he was going to have nothing to do with me. That's when I self-admitted to the parole office asking for help, because I was physically addicted to heroin. I couldn't get clean. I couldn't get past the physical addiction because I kept getting so physically ill that I couldn't get past it, and that's why you guys were reluctant to give me another second chance, was because of the extensiveness of my drug use is what the word that you guys used. That's when I was released, and I shown by my 19 UAs and no dirty UAs. I would get UA twice a week, sometimes more, because you get UA anytime that you leave the facility at MRC. That I have no positive UAs. I was clean the whole way through, and I'm trying to prove with my actions and show you guys that my change is genuine. It's not something I'm coming here lying to you guys or anything like that. My dad can attest that even when I was released, I went to my dad's house upon release the first time, and then the very next day I went to MRC. So my dad is still fully supportive of me living with him on the one condition that I don't use drugs, and which is completely understandable. You know, I'm not going to use drugs. I don't even consider using drugs, even with the emotional stress that I was dealing with. I didn't even consider using drugs. I'm ready to change. That's it.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. So the board is back in discussion. Mr. Johnson, did you have any further?
I kind of vaguely remember this, and that he came in and that his father was here and his father was supportive of him. And I thought at that time that his father wasn't supportive of him doing the drugs, and that's not why he had left the house. However, the father was supportive of him coming back. It wasn't a bad relationship with his father. I just have, I tell you, I really do have some concerns. I'm glad that he's not doing any drugs, but he was released in December of 16, and then in June of 19, he was returned to DOC because of the use of drugs. And then in August, he was reinstated by this board here, and he was informed that the PO was, that he was recommended placement and successful completion of programs that offer substance abuse, because there was a plea for him to get substance abuse, and that he had still an extended period of time left on his parole, that I think his community supervision went to June of 2018. Right. So because there was an extensive period of time, he was given the opportunity to be placed in that program. And I would tell you, I just have some concern about what he's telling us. He wrote a letter that said that the parole officer, Pamela McKee, said she didn't want to, and this is what's in the letter. It basically says, I'm reading from the letter. He says that My parole officer, Pamela McGee, said she didn't want to violate me, but had to due to the extra stipulation put by the board that I must complete treatment program. And then it's clear that in talking to her, that it was not that, it was the stipulation as well as have the opportunity to staff it with her supervisor, that she staffed the situation, and he was supposed to do individual counseling, which he didn't do. However, by the time he did his second staffing, he had, he did go ahead and start doing the individual counseling. I think that he's kind of construing the facts to be more supportive of his issues. So I tell you, I just have some concerns about that, and I have some concerns when he writes in a letter that says that, you know, the only reason that it, basically the only reason that he was violated was due to him, the stipulation put on him by the board, and it's the fact that he had one cell phone, and it's true that the other two cell phones weren't activated, but, you know, there's no need for him to have two other cell phones in there. Even though they may not have been activated at the time, you'd activate them, just have to make a call. I don't know how that's done, but he had three cell phones in there, and why he would have cell phones belong to someone else. And you did talk to Officer McKee, and she did say that the other two was in there, although one that they weren't activated, but she could not testify that those two phones belonged to someone else, and she stated that she would be able to do so. I just have some concerns. I think it's, I have some concerns about that.
Yeah, I'm having a few doubts as well. Mr. Neal?
I concur.
All right. Gosh. I am going to make a motion then. Let's see, where this goes, based on warrant number 2017W3218, testimony of Mr. Oliveri, testimony of Officer McKee, discussion with Mr. McFedridge. I move to revoke community supervision as Mr. McFedridge was delinquent, violated terms and conditions of supervision, and had lapsed or was about to lapse into criminal ways or companies, specifically by knowing that he had the cell phone. I understand why he had it, but there's the issue of the two additional cell phones. So on that basis, I'm going to move to revoke his community supervision.
I second.
Thank you. Mr. McFetridge, you heard the board's discussion, and I would say reluctantly, because we really are pulling for you to get off of the heroin and the meth. I understand MRC is a great program, but there are just too many unanswered questions about your participation there. I hope that you'll be able to take the remaining time. It looks like you'll be released on or about June 28th. Take your remaining time in prison and please continue abstaining from drug use for you, for your health, for your state of mind, because I think you're on the right track. But there's just too much in doubt for us. This board sometimes will stick out its neck, and it's already done that for you once in August, and we're just not able to do it again. So we wish you the very, very best, because you sound like you really have made up your mind. We wish you the best of luck, and thank you for your participation today. Thank you, Officer McKee, and thank you, Mr. Robert McFedridge, as well, for participating in this hearing. This hearing is concluded, and no further discussion may take place. Thanks, everyone.